WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Novelist Sigrid Nunez has garnered critical acclaim and many awards for her four previous novels, including a Whiting Writers Prize and two awards from the American Academy of Arts and Letters. Her debut novel, A Feather on the Breath of God, was a finalist for the 1995 Penn Hemingway Award. Her new novel, The Last of Her Kind, is a big story about the idealism of the 1960s and its long-term effects on two young women. Book critic Maureen Corrigan has a review.
The more distant we get from the 1960s, chronologically and politically, the more liberated novelists seem to feel about trying to capture that era in their fiction. 60s literary standouts in recent years include Philip Roth's sweeping American pastoral, as well as novels fixated on the radical fringe, like Neil Gordon's The Company You Keep, about the weather underground, and Susan Choi's American Woman and Christopher Sorrentino's Trance, both inspired by the Patty Hearst case. This new year in literature kicks off with yet another 60s salute that also faintly invokes the figure of Patty Hearst. Sigrid Nunez's just-published book is called The Last of Her Kind, but judging from literature's ongoing 60s obsession, as a novel, it certainly won't be the last of its kind. Nunez's tale distinguishes itself from its tie-dyed cohorts by being at once more savvy about the underexplored subject of class and yet more melodramatic in its storyline. It opens in 1968 at Barnard College, where our two principal characters meet as roommates. Georgette George is a scholarship student who hails from Nowheresville, upstate New York. She's paired with a WASP roommate, Anne Drayton, who romanticizes the wretched of the earth and is disappointed about sharing space with Georgette, whose white underclass background isn't darkly exotic or downtrodden enough for her. Here's how Georgette remembers their early days together. "We had been living together for about a week when my roommate told me she had asked specifically to be paired with a girl from a world as different as possible from her own. She did not want a roommate from the same privileged world in which she had been raised, she said. She did not want a roommate who had been raised as she had been, but this was my thought, not hers, to believe you could make this kind of special request and expect it would be granted. I had left the space under comments on my housing form blank. I had no comment to write unless it was to say thank you for accepting me." That opening is pitch perfect. It doesn't preach or overstate the obvious. Ditto for Georgette's observations about Vietnam and what an all-consuming issue it was on the Barnard Columbia campus. "But no one else I knew," recalls Georgette, "had a brother who was actually there." Throughout The Last of Her Kind, whenever Georgette retrospectively comments like this on the class myopia of the 60s, the novel's IQ points soar. Its turbulent technicolor storyline, however, dumbs down the book, and Nunez's technique of summoning up multiple narrators seems more distracting than enlightening. The roommates eventually drop out of college, Georgette to nab a job at a women's magazine, and to worship the Black Panthers and try to join the revolution. Georgette's drugged-out sister runs away from home, and courtesy of all three of these young women, we readers are carried along on a "You Are There" magical history tour of communes, crash pads, Woodstock, Haight-Ashbury, and Altamont. Mick Jagger even has an awkward walk-on line or two. The cultural party has already exhausted itself by the time Anne is jailed in 1976 for the murder of a policeman during a tussle in which her black lover is killed. In a late plot twist that's surprisingly affecting, Georgette finds the big love of her life, a love who draws her more deeply into the psychological mystery of her old roommate, Anne. All the while I was reading The Last of Her Kind, I kept experiencing psychedelic flashbacks to Marge Piercy and those wonderful, politically inflected 60s potboilers she used to write, like Vida and Small Changes. Nunez's story has that same kind of earnestly sensational feel to it. For a literary novel, The Last of Her Kind is somewhat clumsy in its language and execution, but like those yippies who tried to end the Vietnam War in 1967 by levitating the Pentagon into outer space, The Last of Her Kind is endearing in its ambition and goofy energy.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University and is the author of the memoir, Leave Me Alone, I'm Reading. She reviewed The Last of Her Kind by Sigrid Nunez. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our engineer is Julian Hertzfeld. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Sue Spolin directed the show. I'm Terry Gross.
Support for NPR comes from Bantam Books, publisher of The Sacred Cut, a modern mystery set in Rome by David Hewson, author of The Villa of Mysteries. From the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation, sponsoring the Free to Grow program, committed to building strong families and communities to support children at freetogrow.org. And from Capella University, an accredited university committed to delivering academic excellence online at capella.edu. This is NPR, National Public Radio.
On the next Fresh Air, Living and Dying with Grizzly Bears, filmmaker Werner Herzog talks about his documentary Grizzly Man, which is now out on DVD. Also, an interview with Simon Cowell, the mean judge on American Idol, which starts its new season next week. I'm Terry Gross. Join us for the next Fresh Air.